It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
A tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
It's the most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
Can you do a Ross impression for us?
No.
You come in here with your red tips. What's with the earring, really?
Get your pumpkin off your head. Your big head.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends with you every Saturday from 10 o'clock. Joey, Jay, Rosie, and Emma. Good morning, team. How are we?
Morning, Em. Morning, Rosie, Jay. Good morning, Ross Lyon, friend of the show.
Yes.
He always listens. Hello, Ross.
We'll have to put that Ross Lyon impression away for a little while.
How are you, Jay-Z?
You're good, mate. Ready for another big day of footy and get stuck into last night's game. We're almost putting them on line through the Pies finals prospects now.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's fair to say they won't play finals in 2021. You can't completely rule it out because, of course, there's still a long way to go. But from what we've seen after 6 weeks, it does seem unlikely they'll play finals. Yep.
Yeah, it's unfortunate stuff. We'll get into that very soon. But coming up on the show today, Hawthorn CEO Justin Reeves to give us a club update and tell us a little bit about tomorrow's Beyond Blue Cup between the Hawks and the D's. That's a really important initiative, one that a lot of people are getting around. Christian Welsh from the Melbourne Storm, they had a huge win over the Roosters last night. Lots to come out of that game, which we'll discuss with him. Good news, the Solar Heart quiz returns. It's your chance to win $200. And as we've said, all the footy and racing you could deserve Zaya on your Saturday morning. But next, time for our Friday night footy review. A big battle in the West, even with Collingwood switching things up. The Pies couldn't land their second win of the season. The Eagles running away with it in the second half to come out as 27-point winners.
Goes for hand to Marty. Caught a brilliant tackle. Allen tripped up behind and threw him to the turf. Grundy. Four back. Takes a beauty.
Whips a high ball. Two. Oscar Allen over the top of the pass.
Sheed got a man on the outside. Sheed, you need to look. He'll play on though. From the 50, goes himself. Oh, Dom is gone, baby.
Oh, dear.
Sheed's got it again. Sheed has it again, my friends. Three goals in 4 minutes of football.
And there's the siren.
The Eagles rebounds in front of a big, big crowd.
Sheed haunts the Pies once again, Joey.
Yes.
The grand final hero. You think Collingwood fans might have a little voodoo doll of Dommy Sheed.
Yeah,
playing.
Look, Sheedy.
The pins and needles in there. Look, the Pies are in trouble. This season is slipping away. They're 1-4 last night. Interestingly, Nathan Buckley made the big move last night, Joey, to send Darcy Moore forward. 9 possessions, 3 goals. Didn't have a lot of it in the second half. Let's listen to the senior coach's take on the swingman's move last night.
Yeah, we've consolidated to improve our contest in front of the ball, and Darcy showed that. And I think that for the large part, that was effective. But no, we didn't defend our D50 as well, so I was robbing Peter to pay Paul in some ways. But it's not a one-week thing. We need to get a little bit more evidence to see if that's something sustainable going forward.
So Anzac Day game next week, Joey. We know that's one of the biggest games of the season. Could be missing Jordan DeGoey. He copped the whack on the beak last night out with a head knock. And also Jeremy Howe, and this is a big one. So they take Moore out of that back half. Now they lose Howie as well to 3 or 4 week hamstring. So that back half is depleted. Will Moore be swung back to centre half back for the Anzac Day game? That's a big question for Nathan Buckley. But this is a Collingwood side, and I reckon this is the frustration for Collingwood fans, Joey. So you break it down for us. They haven't been able to score consistently since the grand final.
Yep.
Now, is that a personnel issue or is that a system issue?
It's a system issue because it doesn't matter necessarily about your personnel. You don't have to have the best forward line in the competition to score goals. And I think Melbourne have been a good example of that this year in particular. Yes, they've got some good players in front of the ball, but they've got, you know, Fritch and Spargo and McDonald who were the issues. And now they are a top four scoring team in the competition because they're passing the ball in. They're finding good looks outside 50. So I think it's more a system thing. Yes, personnel helps as well. Yep. And I don't think they've got a, we know they don't have a star-studded forward line. It's a bit, for me, Jordan DeGoey or bust at times. As good as Brody Mychek is and how much of a competitor he is. I mean, he's not your number one key forward in any side. So the Pies have always got issues with their ball movement and their front half
play.
So
how would you fix? Is there anything obvious to you that stands out about how they can fix that? Because I mean, I'm sure this. We've been talking about this same thing for a couple of years now, haven't we? Great midfield, defence, but it's their inability to score. Is there anything obvious to you that stands out that needs to be amended?
I think they're a team that when you watch them closely, they kick the ball in long too often and from too far outside. So you've got to get the ball within 50 to 70 metres of goal. So that where we call it the launch pad in footy terms, between the 50-metre line and 70 metres out from goal is where you want to find a mark, because then you can turn and you get a good look inside 50. You can pass it in. Collingwood seem to kick a lot of balls in from the wing, too far out. They kick it long and high. We know Mason Cox doesn't get the job done. It makes it very hard to mark. It gets turned over. So they need to try and find that one more kick. You need a connector. You know, almost that link-up player that can mark the ball through there. They don't have that in their side at the moment. They've got issues. It's a combination of both. But Darcy Moore was interesting. He was good as a forward.
Did you stick him, keep him forward?
Or? I don't think so. No, I think we realise, as Nathan Buckley said, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yep.
Jack Darling and Oscar Allen kicked 10 goals between
them. Good,
without Darcy Moore down there. No Jeremy Howe. I think you need Darcy Moore, the best centre-half back in the competition. He needs to stay at centre-half back. Mix up your forward line with some other options. I don't know. You can change it up in different ways. I think you've got to put Darcy Moore back to centre-half back.
Will Kelly.
And let him repel. Yeah, maybe Will Kelly.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, there's a big decision looming on the senior coach. And I'm on record. I think Nathan Buckley, if he wants to do it, should get that chance again to lead the Pies into that new era. But, you know, he's coaching for his future and a new contract. But then from a club perspective, are they best to go for the youth? And as he said this week, you know, play the kids. So they're in a really tricky phase, I think, over the next month. They take on the Baby Bombers next week. Let's have a listen to Nathan Buckley and what he thinks of Collingwood's early season predicament.
Yeah, when you lose a couple of games that you're in winning positions, that hurts. You've got to make the most of the positions you put yourself in, round three and round four, potentially. But, you know, the win-loss is where it stops. You know, at the end of home and away, that's all that really will count. So we've got some wins to chase to put ourselves back to where we want to be.
I think they've got to keep playing the kids. Finn McRae got better as the game went on last night. McCreary showed a little bit.
Tackles.
Keep playing the kids. Get more games into them. Bring Tyler Brown back in. Keep playing some other young kids. Find out more about your list, because the crew that they've had is not going to go places with this. You know, Greenwood and Maine and Cox and these guys that are
Thomas,
over 30.
Hoskin Elliott.
Yeah, so they need to change it up and play some more kids.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
Do you have a manual license or not?
No, I don't.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Across Melbourne and throughout Victoria, Robot Building Supplies offer an extensive range of building supplies and 24-hour delivery. RobotBuildingSupplies.com.au.
Rusty's Motorsport Update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Yeah, joining us now is Greg Rust from Rusty's Garage Podcast. Good morning to you, mate. Can we talk about Scott McLaughlin to begin with? Because he launches into his full season of IndyCar. That's a huge change of scenery for this bloke. Realistically, what can we expect from Scott?
Emma, good morning to you. He was a star in supercars, wasn't he? And obviously left Australian shores last October after Bathurst. So you're right. I mean, he's done one race in IndyCar late last year, but this is his proper rookie season, and he has immersed himself since he left here in the learnings. He got to benchmark himself against a few very good drivers in Australia, but now that gene pool, Emma, is bigger. He's up against a lot more elite athletes. They play hardball there. There's some very good guys that he can draw, you know, learnings from, the likes of Scott Dixon and his teammate, Australian Will Power. It is a significant step up, but he's done a lot of homework and he's got good people in his corner. So I think there'll be down days, but I think there'll also be times where he really impresses in season one as well.
Rusty, the supercars, of course, are in Tasmania this weekend, the home turf of former champion Marcus Ambrose. What's the story down there?
He's going to be on the microphone this weekend, just 3 degrees in Tassie this morning. So practice one at 11:20 a.m. this morning. Three races this weekend. Shane Van Gisbergen leads the championship by 150 points over his teammate Jamie Whincup, and we've talked about that on the show in recent weeks. But Marcus has been a two-time champion in the sport. It's basically his backyard. He went off and did 10 years in NASCAR. He lives back in Tassie now. It's not all that far from where he grew up. And he's one of those guys who's a straight shooter, but in a good way. He's got lots of good rapport in that pit lane. And I reckon in between the sessions and racing, he'll offer some very good insights.
Hey, Rusty, round two of the F1s is on this weekend in Italy. Am I right in saying last year Daniel Ricciardo had a podium finish? Is there any chance of him repeating? Because I saw that he was a bit ordinary overnight in the practice rounds.
Bang on both accounts. So he had a podium there last year when he was with Renault. He was top 10 in session one. He's obviously with McLaren this year, but only 18th in practice two. He could have been 11th had he not exceeded what's called the track limits, just in pushing, trying to get that time. Qualifying is key here at Imola. So they've set themselves a target tonight, our time. When they qualify, he's got to be up front because it's very difficult to pass there. I think there's more good stuff to come from this car. They haven't unlocked it yet. It's a good race car, but maybe not a good qualifying car. So tonight will be key, guys.
Thank you, Rusty. We appreciate your time and we'll chat to you next week. Hopefully Dan can finish a bit further up the grid.
Have a ripper weekend, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Rusty.
Rusty's Motorsport Update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Hey, last night, the Melbourne Storm, they were awesome again. 20-4 winners over the Sydney Roosters. We're going to chat to Christian Welsh later in the show, so looking forward to that one. And the Newcastle Knights, Kalen Ponga, he put on a clinic, didn't he, Emma? They defeated Cronulla 26-22. Jay-Z, the Sheffield Shield final is on. Have you watched any of that at all?
Haven't yet, Joey.
I actually watched a little bit. New South Wales bowled out for 143. Mm-hmm. They've got their star-studded bowling lineup, Hazelwood and Stark, etc. Yep. But Queensland on day two are 3 for 286. Marnus Labuschagne, 160 not out. So Queensland are in the box seat there in the Sheffield Shield. The A-League, the Melbourne Derby, that's on tonight. Melbourne City versus Melbourne Victory, that's at 7 p.m. Some NBL news, our South East Melbourne take on Adelaide tonight. Melbourne United, who are on top of the ladder, take on Illawarra tomorrow. A little bit of golf, Cameron Smith coming off a top 10 finish in the US Masters. He just shot a career best 9-62 yesterday at the RBCT Heritage in South Carolina. Wow. He's tied for fourth. And a little bit of WNBA news, Shyla Heal, yes. The daughter of Shane Heal.
Shane Heal,
she just got drafted pick 8 in the WNBA to the Chicago Sky. So watch out for her. She's only a youngster. I think she's about 18, 19. She played in our WNBL season. She is now a star. She was a top 10 draft pick overnight in the WNBA.
Has she got the same
shooting action? Yes, not quite. She doesn't have that sort of over-the-head style shot, but she's a little star. Watch her at the Olympics as well.
Did you see Bryce Cotton's match winner throughout the week?
Yeah.
The Perth Wildcat?
Yeah,
It was an unbelievable shot, wasn't it?
But do you know how weird that is, though? Did you then watch the NBA yesterday, Dallas Mavericks? I had a bit of time at home. Luka Doncic did the exact same shot, like a sort of underneath, like sort of went under the defender from 3-point range, sort of leaning forward, just sort of fluked it up there and won the game.
Is Cotton the number one player in the NBL?
By a mile, yeah. He has been for the last 3 or 4 years.
Let's get into a little bit of footy now and talk about Melbourne's Christian Petrarca. So he's on contract, Jay-Z, until the end of next year, which means that next year, as a free agent, he can start looking around, hey?
So he will be a restricted free agent next year when he'd be the most sought-after player in the game. Now, I have loved Christian Petrarca's start to the season. And interestingly, Joey, the opposition tags are going to Clayton Oliver. We saw it. So it was De Boer 2 weeks ago. Then last week, Geelong sent Mark O'Connor to Clayton Oliver. And that allows Christian Petrarca to absolute run amok. Now, have the opposition, before we get to his contract, did the opposition get this right? Because if it was me coming up against the D's, I'm tagging Petrarca and loading up another raging bull against Clayton Oliver, because it's hard to tag in the shoebox anyway.
No, so I almost think opposite, Jay-Z. I think the reason why you go to Clayton Oliver is because it's easier to tag a midfielder that you know is going to be in the midfield the whole game.
Right.
Who's a contested ball winner. It's like why you can tag Lachie Neal, because you know he's going to play.
He's there.
He's going to play. Where it's harder to tag Dustin Martin or Petrarca, because if you put a midfielder on him, he just takes you forward and you don't want a midfielder playing in the defensive 50 on Petrarca or Dustin Martin.
Right.
So it's actually very hard to tag those players. So this whole myth about why don't they just tag Dustin Martin with a midfielder or tag Petrarca?
They exploit the matchup.
Exactly. Yeah. They manipulate it to suit their team. So it is easier to go to Oliver, but I don't think that's a concession that Oliver is better than Petrarca.
Yep.
It's just that he's easier to tag.
Well, Clayton, Christian Petrarca would be absolutely loving that because it is allowing him to get off the chain. He's number one in the competition for score involvement since round one last year, Joey. Now, that makes him an extremely damaging player. Now, next Saturday night, and I love this game, the Melbourne-Richmond Anzac Day Eve game is an absolute beauty, and the pre-game ceremony gives me goosebumps all the time. Honestly, I absolutely love it. If you haven't been, you're a neutral fan, get along. It's amazing. They do such a good job. Now, we're going to see Martin versus Petrarca.
Arguably the number one and two player in the game at the moment.
Wow. Are they? So Petrarca sped past Jordan Ngoi, and we know Nat Fyfe is a superstar. Yep. Bontempelli is right at the top echelon. Is Petrarca the number two player in the game yet? Because if he's not, Joey,
he's top five.
He's
top five.
There.
I'll say he's top five. Right now this year, Petrarca is a top five player in the game.
Right. So how much has Melbourne got to pay him?
Because well, he's got to get paid like a top... You got to pay him like a top 10 player in the game. So what are the top 10 players in the game getting? Would there be 10 players in the comp getting $1 million?
Simon Goodwin is absolutely wrapped. Petrarca's form is amazing.
Yep.
It's a headache for the list manager, Tim Lamb, because his contract value is going north by the week. So this is the choice. What would you do, Joey? So if you're Christian Petrarca, do you sign for, say, $6 by $900,000 this year? So you're signed up and you're not out of contract next year. Or if you're Christian Petrarca, you try and win two Brownlows, win a premiership, hang out like Dustin Martin did to the absolute death and get 7 year times 1.25. What would you do if you're Christian Petrarca?
No, I think you lock away the security. You take your 6 years at 900,000. If Melbourne win a premiership or Petrarca wins a Brownlow, trust me, he'll make a lot of money outside of football doing other things and other endorsements like Dustin Martin has now done. You see Dusty on all the billboards and all that sort of stuff. So if I was Petrarca's manager, I would say, look, you've got your security here. You've earned this now. You've lifted your game the last 2 years. Take your 6 years, 900,000.
Yep.
And then you go and win a premiership, go and win a Brownlow, and then the rest will take care of itself and you'll be set up for a long, long time. So
and
that's what I'd say.
You would rather have that flag rather than the extra 200.
100%.
Like, that's
you,
not
you
even
give
a,
up. You give up $100,000 every day of the week to win a premiership. Absolutely. So quickly, so Max Gawn and Clayton Oliver have just signed.
Yes.
Two other players you would say top 20 in the league. Roughly, what do they get? Just quickly.
I reckon Oliver's on about 800 and Gawney be about the same.
So Petrarca has to get at least 800.
Well, yes.
He's better than
them. At least.
Yes.
I reckon 6 by 9 is
about
right.
That's
and that's also Petrarca taking a bit of a clip so that they can keep the list together because...
Yeah. Yes, that's right. If you start your club, he could always earn more at another club, but you take a bit less. He's happy. Team's playing well. Everything's going nicely. You take your money. And a really nice article, Jay-Z, in the Herald Sun today. I just realised that Martin and Petrarca this Saturday night.
Two favourites for the Brownlow medal.
Good.
And there's value there for Christian Petrarca. Are you taking Melbourne seriously as a premiership contender?
Absolutely.
Are the Melbourne
100%.
Fans in their cars right now?
They're the real deal.
They're the longest premiership drought in the game. Could they write the fairy tale this year?
Absolutely.
Are they ready?
They could. Absolutely they could. They could. Not saying they will. They are ready. They tick every box in regards to their list, their style of play, their age profile, their experience in finals a few years ago, they are ready.
Yep.
It's now up to them whether they want to make it work or not. They are the real deal. Forget about what they have been.
Yep.
Look at what they are this year. I know there's still a lot of Melbourne supporters and a lot of other footy people going, oh, we're waiting
here
for
we
Melbourne.
Go again.
Some people are tipping Hawthorn to upset them this weekend because the old Melbourne would lose. That's the old Melbourne. Richmond were also the butt of all the jokes. And Richmond were always finished ninth, and Richmond were always his team
look
until they weren't
now.
Any longer. And I think we could be seeing the same with Melbourne.
Speaking to Hawthorn CEO Justin Reeves shortly, but in the second hour, I want to talk to you about your Saints. Is there a Thursday night at Marvel Stadium?
Do we have to?
Yeah, mate, we do.
Flashing red lights and sirens, alarm bells everywhere. We'll talk about
that.
A bit of a
disaster there.
It's the Dead Set Legends Weekend Quiz. To see if you could save $500 off a solar power system, head to solarheart.com.au.
Yeah, exactly right. Time for our Solar Heart quiz with $200 up for grabs to see if you could save yourself $500 off a solar power system. Head to solarheart.com.au. As we know, it's last man standing, all about sport, but you do get one lifeline. So for one question only, if you can't answer Joey's first question, you get to use your Smart Switch lifeline to get a different question but still on the same topic. We've rested this for a couple of weeks, so you should be jumping out of your skin to get going, Joseph.
Yeah, pockets full of cash, so let's give it away. Mandy, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good. All right, let's see if you can sweep the board with these questions. We'll get straight into it. First question.
Try.
Okay. What pick was Johnny Patton in the 2011 draft?
Oh, God. Johnny Patton in the 2011 draft.
Close. Johnny Patton.
Oh, Patton, sorry.
What number was he drafted? It's pretty early.
Yeah. Sorry, haven't got that one.
Bad luck, Lots. Mandy. Do you want to use your Smart Switch lifeline?
Yes.
Sorry, Mandy. Of course. Let's go to Marty, hey?
Marty, good morning, mate. It is a free hit to take that Smart Switch lifeline. So you've got it up your sleeve, Marty, if you do want it. Hey, do you know what pick Johnny Patton went, 2011 draft?
I'm going to say number one.
Yeah, well done. Did you watch any of the golf last week?
No, Masters? Really.
No. Okay, well, hopefully you read it in the paper or on the news.
Come on, Marty.
Who was the highest placed Australian at the Masters last week? Which golfer?
Leishman.
Yeah, well,
you're all over it.
Righto, I like that. That was confident. You still got your lifeline. Question three. Last night, which Collingwood player made his debut? And of course, he's a brother of a Western Bulldog.
Lifeline.
Your lifeline.
Okay. Lifeline. Didn't watch it.
Oh,
we're trouble.
Okay. No, I watched Stormwind.
Yeah, you watched the Storm. Oh, good. All right, well, you're going to have a guess here, but I reckon if you just think through this one, you might be able to get it. Name one of the West Coast Eagles players last night who kicked five goals. There were two of them. Two of them kicked five, just to give
Kennedy.
Us one. Oh, you're kidding. One of the others. Sorry, mate.
They've
got the big three.
You'd think he might be, but no.
Stiff.
That's unlucky.
That is unlucky.
It is.
Bad luck.
Mark
from Bell Park, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Joey. And yourself?
Good, mate. Good. Hey, do you know which Collingwood player made his debut last night? He's the brother of a Western Bulldog.
Yeah, I think it was McRae.
Yeah, very good. McRae. Two to go, and you've still got your lifeline.
Yep.
I mentioned this one in Saturday's scoreboard earlier, but which Queenslander is 160 not out in the Sheffield Shield final?
Labajane.
Yes, good. All right. And for the win, mate, last question. This is going back to Thursday night. Which Richmond player kicked five goals against St Kilda?
Jack Riewoldt.
Yes, right on, Mark.
He's got it.
$200 in the score.
Mark.
Thank you very much.
Mark,
nice one, mate.
Is this Bell Park in Geelong?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good man.
Nice area. You used to bum around there, did you, Jay-Z, back in the day?
In Geelong? Yeah, not that particular suburb. I was sort of south of the river, but that's okay,
yeah,
Bell Park.
I was from south of the river first off, but then I moved over to Bell Park.
And you crossed. Oh,
your top word.
Controversial.
Yeah.
Well done, Mark.
Good stuff, Mark. Love it. We'll do the Solar Heart quiz again next week. Hey, next, Hawthorne CEO Justin Reeves ahead of the club's big clash with Melbourne in the Beyond Blue Cup tomorrow. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
So that's when the Gold Coast Suns for mine will really be blossoming.
Nice you pun, just said mate. Blossoming. Well,
blossoming.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Robot building supplies.
From a minor home renovation to a multi-story construction.
Robots got it.
Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Well, tomorrow, Hawthorn and Melbourne will be playing for the Beyond Blue Cup, which seeks to shine a light on mental health, encouraging meaningful and open conversations, as well as reduce the stigma attached to mental health issues. It's a really great initiative that asks people to look, listen and ask to support family, friends and teammates each and every day. Hawthorn CEO Justin Reeves is a major driving force behind the game and joins us on the show. Good morning to you, Justin. I'm sure you're looking forward to tomorrow's big event. It's going to be a good one.
Yes, good morning to you guys. It's going to be a great day. You know what? It's a real privilege of ours to be involved with Beyond Blue and to highlight the great cause that Beyond Blue drives. Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Justin, a 1-3 start to the season, been really competitive in most games. What have you made of the Hawks' start to the season this year?
I mean, I think it's sort of what we are going to expect a bit, you know, Lee. We've got a really young group. We've got it's really a changing sort of group at Hawthorn, and you know, with young guys with not many games under their belt, I think we're going to see some really, really exciting things. We're also probably going to see some days where it gets away from the group a little bit. But I mean, as you said, the best thing so far has been that we've been competitive in all four games, and that's really what we're after. You know, to get some experience and some competitiveness into these guys.
Hey, Justin, Emma touched on mental health and the important conversations around that at the moment. Big announcement yesterday from the club and the AFL and John Patton that he had retired and then he's looking to essentially sort out his life, which is his priority, and not playing football at the moment. How is he travelling? Have you had any contact with him?
Not directly. I've reached out to John, but I think, you know, he needs his space at the moment. I mean, it's a really... You know, Jay, as you would know, it's a really, really difficult one on so many levels. I think, you know, I'm really glad that John's been able to face it and apologise yesterday for his actions and really look at it head on. You know, and really I hope now that John's able to sort of move on with the rest of his life. And there's so many people that have been affected by this, and it's been so public that it's such a difficult one. For John, he's had his own battles. You know, Beyond Blue's a really good cause tomorrow, and John's had his own battles and now that he's able to address it directly, we just really hope that, you know, John is able to move on with his life and live a really meaningful life in the short term.
He's got to set himself up for the rest of his life post-footy, and that's clearly been his focus at the moment. Hey, another big focus for the football club. It is AFLW Grand Final Day, Joe. We'll get your thoughts on that a little bit later. Now, are you any danger of getting an AFLW team, Reevesy? Now, I know the president, Jeff Kennett, has been very vocal on this matter. You guys have got a great setup down there at Waverley and been trying for years. Any danger, mate, you could possibly get a team together in the top competition?
Well, mate, I'm on my way at the moment out to the Box Hills to see our VFLW girls play, and you know I love it. It's fantastic. You know, I try to go every week. Mate, we are kicking the door down.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, we've made it very, very, very public and very, very obvious that we are. It's one of our main priorities as a football club.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we deserve to have a team.
So what's the problem then, Reevesy? Why are they saying no? I don't get it.
I think that there's been this argument for some time that the talent pool is not there, and then there's another argument that the commercial model doesn't stack up. And, you know, there's been a bit of pushback from some of the clubs that are in there to not extend the competition any further because of, a drain of talent and players moving clubs and the like. But the reality is until all 18 clubs are in, it's not a complete competition. We as I said, kicking the door down. We expect to be in next year, 2022. And if we're not, we'll continue to raise that argument quite publicly.
I think you deserve a team. From everything I hear about the lady set up down there that you've got, Justin, it's fair to say. We are speaking to Hawthorn CEO Justin Reeves. I tell you what, Reeves, one of the great initiatives I really liked is about 18 months ago. I don't think you could do it last year, but the work experience set up. I spoke to James Warple about it. He spent a week working out at one of the prisons. And I know Alistair Clarkson is a huge fan of this, and I'm wondering where it's at because I think Melbourne Storm do it. It's a great initiative where you guys send out your players to spend especially the young ones, to go and work out in the tools for a week to realise the privilege you have playing in the AFL and at an AFL club. Are you guys firing that back up? Is there anything holding you back on that front? Because I reckon it could be something that every AFL club could adopt.
Yeah, Jay, I couldn't agree more. And Clarko has been the driver and a huge driver of this and continues to be. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do it last year because of COVID, but our plans to reintroduce it at the end of this season, absolutely. We think it's such an important, and you mentioned the word privilege, that you know these guys come in mostly as 18-year-olds into a very, very privileged environment, you know, where they're trained during the day, and we think it's really, really important, for anyone that joins our club, but any AFL player really, to leave their AFL career with some world experience, not just be in the AFL bubble, and the opportunity for these guys to to work during the day and then to come to footy training at night. And really round them out, we think it's a great experience.
Makes sense.
It was very well received last time, and we'll be dialing up as soon as we can.
Yeah, it's a great initiative, and you're right, all clubs should be looking into it. Hey, Justin, before we let you go, we're speaking about the Hawks youngsters, and we're loving the way they're going about it, but I must admit, I'm falling in love with CJ Giaf.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
an absolute yeah. star.
Yeah, unpredictable.
He's going to do some things that he'll...
Creative.
Yeah, that's right. Keep Clarko on his toes.
Exciting.
He keeps Clarko on his toes. Do you have a... I know you're technically not allowed, and I'd love for you to get off the fence, but do you have a favourite youngster? Do you have like one of the players on the side that you like love watching play? I know I'm the cliched answer, like,
I love all my sons.
Is there someone that you really like watching play out of the youngsters at the Hawks?
Yeah, I do.
Are you allowed to tell us?
I can't tell you. I do. I love watching CJ. As you said, your heart's in your mouth sometimes. He's so unpredictable, but I love that about it. Mm. And I hope that doesn't, he's not sort of taken out of his game as he gets more experience. And, to see a young guy like CJ take the game on the way he does, just fantastic to watch.
But
to answer your question, actually, I think Will Day is my favourite.
Right.
Okay. Oh, classy. Yeah. And Tyler Brockman also has got some exciting... The thing is, with CJ, I reckon he's a bums on seats guy. There's how many defenders do you got? Like, I really want to go watch
him play.
He is one who, for Hawthorn fans, love watching him play.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right on Tyler Brockman. Tyler Brockman was our last pick in the draft last year.
Great story. Yeah.
Probably been his expectation wasn't that great. And he's just so exciting to see. So we're really excited about him.
Hey, Justin, thanks for joining us this morning. We look forward to seeing Hawthorn getting around tomorrow in the Beyond Blue Cup.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. And Beyond Blue, it's a great cause. We'd love everyone to sort of just have a think about what it means for them and the people that are around them, and just to check in with those people that they love that really need to be checked in on, just to make sure they're okay.
Thanks, Jay-Z.
Absolutely a terrific message. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
Jay-Z, we love a pick one. You got a one for us this morning, hey?
I got a doozy for you, Joey. I try and give you a curly question every week.
I'll decide if it's a doozy.
Pick one. Oh, you've thrown me. Pick one. Pick one. Which of these star young key forwards would you rather? Oscar Allen, who dominated, kicked 5 goals last night, or your boy down there at St Kilda, Max King? Ooh. Pick one, Joey.
That's a doozy.
Yes.
I have to say Max King.
Really?
I think at the moment, Oscar Allen, I would say at the moment, is a better player. I think Max King has got more upside.
A higher ceiling?
Higher ceiling. Some of the things that Max King does, particularly at ground level, for a guy that's 200 centimetres, he's kicking a lot of goals at the moment from ground level, not necessarily from contested marks. He's getting some, like, at his ankles and some crumbs. When he can mark everything, and he will eventually mark everything, he puts on a bit more size and clunks them, he will be a superstar, Max King. He will be the best key forward in the comp, but I do love Oscar Allen. He is also going to be one of the best key forwards in the competition. So it's a good one, but I'll take Max King.
I just think that Oscar Allen is, if he could have any...
Okay, so I'll give back to you. Pick one, Oscar Allen or Harry Mackay? Because I know you love Harry.
Oh, he loves Harry, doesn't he?
I am a big Mackay fan. Who do you want in your team? No, I'm having Oscar Allen.
And Harry Mackay?
Yeah, I reckon I could...
He's gone off him.
I reckon Oscar Allen, if he was playing at Collingwood, we'd just be talking, we'd be banging on about him every second day, I reckon. So Harry Mackay's...
Does it help, though, that Oscar Allen's the third tall forward?
Third banana.
It's pretty handy when he's got Kenny and Darwin next to him. Harry Mackay is the number one key forward at Carlton.
That's a fair point.
Max King, thank you. No, Max King's the number one at St Kilda.
Quick one for you, Emma.
Oh, yeah.
Do you prefer your pasta with red or the white sauce? I feel like people who order the pasta with the white sauce, like there's no way that stacks up.
Like a fettuccine.
Yeah.
The carbonara. Is that what you're banging on? It's for a hangover.
It's too sickly.
No, I'll take the tomato sugo right? Any day.
Sugo all day.
Is there anyone out there who does prefer the white sauce with their pasta, do you reckon?
Yeah, for a hangover.
Yeah,
Rosie. Carbonara.
Is that a hangover cure? Is that a hangover cure?
There's a few hangovers in the studio this morning, not naming names. Hey, just had a little visit from the duck coming in to answer one of your pick ones between Max King and Oscar
always
Allen.
Nice.
I like
when
that.
Duck comes in to back me up. He says, yeah, Max King's got a high ceiling. He's harder role than the number one key defender. Oscar Allen's got the third key defender. Yeah.
Then he said only certain people can do it as the number one man.
Right from the start.
Pointed to himself.
Which we love about him. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Let's get into some Thursday night footy. Richmond 86-point winners over the Saints. In Maddie's match, Joey, your Saners, what are we going to do about them?
Yeah, that was ugly. There are concerns now, and it's not because of off the back of that one game. If you look at their season, Jay-Z, GWS, remember back in the wet, they were almost lucky to go over. There was a bit of a scrap. I mean, you look at GWS's form line now, and you think, you know, how well were the Giants going? St Kilda were very ordinary against Melbourne. I was at that game live. The skills on the Saints that night was horrible. I think I described the third quarter as the worst quarter of footy I'd seen. Melbourne didn't play much better and still won. So St Kilda were very bad. Then against Essendon, they were horrible, St Kilda.
Yep.
Then they had one good quarter and a half against West Coast, and then they were horrible again. So this is now alarm bells. This is now a trend for the season 2021. Yes, they're missing Marshall and Ryder, who are crucial. Let's put that on the table. And they've got some other injuries, but most clubs at the moment have got injuries. Most clubs are missing key players from their side. So alarm bells, got to get down and dirty, got to roll their sleeves up, got to have a good look in the mirror at what they want to get out of the season, individually and collectively, and they've just got to get to work. It's not going to turn overnight for them. Doesn't get any easier against Port next week, but... sometimes you've got to have a hard look and say, righto, what do we stand for and what are we going to build our game on? Because that pressure that we saw for a quarter and a half against West Coast hasn't been there anywhere near enough this season.
Ross Lyon made an interesting point, I think, a fortnight ago. He said, I'm not sure it's an A-grade midfield. And then, so on Thursday night against Richmond, they pick a centre-square team, right? They pick Hardnuts in Dunstan. They had Steele. They had Seb Ross in there.
Crouch.
They had Crouch as well. And there, I don't know, I should know this exact figure, but was it 20-2 clearances.
It was 21-1 at one stage.
Oh.
22 out of 23 clearances Richmond won one stage through that middle part of the game.
That's ugly.
I've almost never heard of
never.
That. That is an absolute belting. Yeah. So they pick a centre square team, try and roll the sleeves, and then can't win a centre clearance. So what do they have to do? Do they need to change up that mix? Like maybe Luke Dunstan.
So first point is Paul Hunter. look, he's only a young man just starting his career, but he wasn't up to it at AFL level.
He roughed against Marlon Pickett.
Yes, and he should have done much better, and he didn't do very well. But there's a little bit of a myth, and I'll throw this one too while we've got time, about centre square bounce.
Right.
You don't necessarily, at a centre square bounce, want your big inside mids. They're not your centre clearance players because it's an open space.
What do you mean? Patrick Cripps is the best centre clearance player in the
competition. It is when it gets hit straight to him.
Right.
But Shea Bolton was the one. There's sometimes the guys that are actually nimble and quick. Like Lockie Neal is the best centre clearance player because he bounces on the footy. You've actually got to be nimble and sharp.
Agility.
And agility and pounce on the loose ball.
Shea Bolton.
So the big mids are great in congestion, you know, where, you know, Crouch and Seb Wright and Jack Steele. But at centre bounces, sometimes you want to get some guys in there that are actually quite nimble and can actually have a bit of speed and pounce on the footy. So that was the wrong dynamic. I was a little bit disappointed too that throughout that game, even when they were getting smashed at clearance, St Kilda still opted to have a plus one defender.
Yep.
Richmond bring up a couple of numbers. St Kilda chose to drop off that, which was killing them, and they didn't adjust. So they've got some big questions.
Can we just touch quickly on the concussion debate? Now, there's a beef between Nick Riewoldt and Matthew Lloyd at the moment. Nick Riewoldt said he would, if he had to serve a 12-day stand-down period, which rubbed him out for a grand final, he would challenge it in the Supreme Court. Then Matthew Lloyd said that is an irresponsible comment and that basically Nick doesn't know what he's talking about. Let's hear what Nick Riewoldt said in return last night.
Matthew Lloyd doesn't speak for me, and that's a lazy and ill-informed comment with no prior knowledge of my history, my medical history. And he obviously had paid no regard for the caveats that I made that were part of my original statement. If you had actually recovered symptomatically from the symptoms of concussion and your cognitive testing had returned to the baseline levels, well then if you're stuck in a 12-day time warp, but you're actually fine and you've been cleared, because the 12 days is an arbitrary number, I would fight it and I would take it as far as I could to be able to play in a grand final on those very, very clear caveats that I just outlined that Matthew obviously chose to disregard.
Strong from Rui. Where do you stand, Joey?
Look, I stand, I support what Nick's point was, that if he had the option and he was, and as he said, if it was it was exceptional circumstances. So first of all, he's not taking concussion. He's taking it very seriously. And I know Nick very, very well, obviously, that I don't know anyone that's taking concussion more seriously, really, than Nick with what he's been through with his own issues. But we're talking about exceptional circumstances here. Going into a grand final, if you pass your concussion test and you pass all your symptoms, but then there's a rule that says you have to sit out 12 days, he was saying, well, I would fight that. And I don't know how you can disagree with Nick's decision. If he chose to do that, you've got to support the player because everyone has a choice in life. You have a choice. So if he wanted to take that risk, that's his choice. It's like if someone chooses to smoke. I mean, we understand there are health implications of smoking cigarettes, but people choose to do it.
Does the AFL have to protect the players?
Of course
they
do. And I like the rules. It's protecting the players themselves. I get that. And we want to take concussion seriously. We need to have these steps in place. This was a hypothetical scenario, exceptional circumstance, going into a grand final. If I had a teammate that wanted to challenge it at the Supreme Court and made the choice to play in a grand final, I mean, that's their choice. You support their decision.
The most important part of what Rui said was that he had passed cognitive tests, though. It's not just that he feels good. If the doctors had actually passed him fit to play because of cognitive testing, then I understand that. Hey, quickly, before we go to the break, Bulldogs Suns, Swans Giants, Blues Power, Lions Bombers today.
I'm looking forward to the Brisbane-Essendon game. I think the Bombers are going pretty well at the moment. Brisbane are only just going. I think this could be a really good game. I'm looking forward to seeing Essendon.
They could stare down Joey again,
cause an upset.
And Zach Reid playing the 200-centimetre swingman. So Perkins, Reid and Cox. 200-centimetre on board. Exciting signs for those young Bombers.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. Hey, next, a huge day of racing at Randwick for day two of the championships. Let's find some winners next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
Yep, just go to the pub and have a nice lunch and a couple of bottles of wine.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Across Melbourne and throughout Victoria, Robot Building Supplies offer an extensive range of building supplies and 24-hour delivery. robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Hey, Emma, our favourite segment now, Jay-Z, isn't it, where we get Emma's tips?
Do you get texts asking for Emma's tips all the time? Like,
people slide into my DMs and ask where they can find Emma's they can find Emma's tips because
no
she's
one's
been on
sliding
fire.
Into my
she's
DMs
making money.
No one's going into mine either.
Yeah. She's been making plenty of money for us. Yes. So, wasn't your most profitable Saturday?
No, it
last
wasn't.
Saturday,
it was a tough day, Joey.
But in the big race,
Kitty took
in the
small
big race, we were a bit nervous about you. Nature Strip's a bit like Melbourne. Very, very good. But can you trust them? Emma trusted Nature Strip last week, and let's listen to what happened.
In race eight, this is the TJ, which is the sprint race of the day, and my goodness, difficult. It's kind of a match race between Bivouac and Nature Strip.
Yep.
And I cannot believe it. I'm going to back Nature Strip.
And Nature Strip draws a length and a half, two lengths clear from Eduardo, a gap back to Masked Crusader, but Nature Strip goes back to back in the TJ, and this is an annihilation.
Good.
Thank you, Darren Flindell.
Yeah. Nice odds, too. I think it was about $4, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could get about $4. He was on the drift.
What about today at Royal Randwick? Still a couple of big races. Sydney Cup Day up there. Yes. What do you got for us, please?
Great day of racing. Race 2, number 11, Rainbow Connection. Following this horse during the week and the odds, $15 slash to sevens, which is when you know you're onto a pretty good thing then.
You've had a good go at that, Emma.
Yes. Does Charlie know about that?
Put the house on there. Yeah, he doesn't know we're homeless as of next week. So that's going to be my first bet of the day. Race 7 is the Sydney Cup. She's Ideal has also been smashed from $8.50 to $5.50. Realm of Flowers is the Freedman runner. I'm thinking of having them in a little quinella. So She's Ideal and Realm of Flowers, the two horses kind of buying for favouritism at the moment, both about $5.56, which is great value, I would have thought, in the Sydney Cup. Race 8 is the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. This is a no-brainer for me. Very elegant, again, up against a Dabe. $2.25, but I reckon she wins this. Again, this prep, she's just going great guns. Race 9, I know it. I'm just going to have – I have
Graceful
to keep saying
glamour.
It. I have to have it because she's been running so well. She's got to win one. She's got to get clock up a win this prep, but that's just going in my little – you know, that's just for me to do. Not everyone has to follow my lead there. And then in race 10, this is interesting, Joey, because I'm going to back Seasons the win. She's a really good mare and she's in good form at the moment at $5.50, but you've also got something that you might want to throw in there.
Yeah, don't leave number 1, Tafane, out of your quaddie. Just a little bit of mail. Might not have been fully fit last prep. Might have had some issues. Now it's back. It's a very, very good horse. Group 1 winner. I'd be backing Tafane race 10. And also I've got another tip, Emma, in race 6. This was sent to me. Annabelle Neesham, who you've been all over. She's been on fire. I've been tipped Prague. Race 6, number 2, at about $10, Jay-Z. Ooh, just have a little bit each way on Prague. Or at least, there you go. Something on that.
And any updates on your horse?
South Parade, it's been scratched again. So it's been scratched two Saturdays in a row.
Okay. Is it because it's sore or it just
No, it's actually flying. It's because we're just trying to find the right race for it.
Right.
Drew barrier 16 today. So the trainer was like, look, probably hard to win from out in barrier 16 at Caulfield, 1400. Let's find a race where it can win because it's flying. It's won three on the trot. So maybe next Sunday at Flemington, Anzac Day.
Ooh.
But I'll have an update. I'll have an update next Saturday for you all.
Look forward.
Okay, we can do that. Of course, gamble responsibly if you are having a bet today at Royal Randwick. Hey, let's change tact. The Melbourne Storm are continuing their impressive run at the moment, second on the ladder. And last night they put in a thumping performance to smash the Roosters 20-4.
Within a metre of the line.
My goodness. Christian Welsh is always a big part of the team's performances, and he joins us now. Christian, I tell you what, you guys put in a huge effort last night and were rewarded with a big win over one of the best sides in the comp. But Harry Grant, can we just focus on him at the moment? He is Harry Houdini.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, no, it's great to have Harry back. It's his second game back after having a bit of a knee injury in the preseason. So, yeah, we're loving having him back. And I guess he's playing out of his skin for a guy. I think 20 or 30 games into his career, he's certainly making a huge impact. And the combo with Brandon Smith and another really special hooker we've got, so it seems to be going really well for us at the moment.
Christian, the other man we love is Ryan Pappenhausen. Dude, when he first rocked up at the club, did you think he could get to where he is now? Because, you know, the people who know NRL really well say he's a top 10 player in the competition.
Yeah, I'd say he'd be even higher. But yeah, when he first rocked up, he wasn't even a backup fullback. He was the third string. He was struggling to get a run, I suppose, in our Reggie side. That, you know, that's how far he's come from.
Wow.
And it's just his work ethic and his resilience. And you know, you've seen the size of him. He's not a big guy. He's incredibly quick, but he's a tough little customer. And we saw it last night. He got put his body in line for the team, stopped a try, and then came back on with a pretty banged up shoulder. So. He's an amazing player to have at our club, and we're really lucky. And yeah, it's just it's I'm just so happy for him now. Hard his work to get to where he is today.
So, Christian, I want to follow up. You just said he's higher than a top 10 pick because Jay-Z's got two loves, Scottie Pendlebury in the AFL and Ryan Pappenhausen. Yeah. They're the two that he always bangs on about. Yep. Is Pap, do you think he's a top five player in the league at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. I think the amount of impact he's having, just his speed and his ability to finish off half chances created by others and create his own. It's he's a pretty special player. There's not too many of those guys in our competition. So, we're pretty blessed, to be honest, to go from Billy Slater, who changed the position at fullback, and then we just pick up another one. And he's going fantastic. So it's awesome for us big boys in the middle of the field to turn and see him with the ball, making line breaks, scoring tries for us. So makes our job a lot easier.
You're an exciting team to watch at the moment, Christian. You did mention Brandon Smith, the hectic cheese, they call him. And I've got to mention that tomorrow night on Sundays with Maddie, which is the show I do, boys, on Fox League on a Sunday night, we do have Brandon on. How do you think that's going to go as him as our guest tomorrow, Christian? Because I feel it's going to be loose.
He's a bit of a character. He loves a good time, but he also loves ripping in on the field. So he's a great guy to have at our club. I think he would have had a few beers last night to celebrate a good win. So hopefully he's in decent condition by Sunday.
So Friday night game, the beauty is you do have a little bit of extra time. So a few beers last night. Are you down in Port Ferry? Have you got the weekend off? Are you just having a little weekend away?
Yeah, we've got the weekend off. So I drove straight from Amy Park last night to Port Ferry. I've got a mate who lives here and going down the local Aussie Reels today to watch the Port Ferry Seagulls taking on Portland. So,
beautiful.
Looking forward to it. I love watching a bit of AFL footy and especially some good regional footy and a good crowd and a few tins on in the grandstand. It'll be good fun today.
Perfect day. Yeah, good day.
Take me with you, Christian.
Things are absolutely flying for you blokes at the moment. Anzac Day, you've got the Warriors. That should be a good game.
Yeah, no, it's probably the marquee game in our calendar. Yep. Having the privilege to play on Anzac Day and I think the lead up and the pre-game stuff, I think that's more important than the actual game, to be honest.
Yep. Goosebumps, Christian? Your goosebumps?
Yeah, that's right. I just think it's a real special time to pay our tributes to all the servicemen and women in Australia. And I think they do it really well at Amy Park there. And it feeds on really well from that, the big Collingwood Essendon game on.
Yeah, absolutely, Christian. We look forward to seeing you guys get another win on the calendar next weekend and enjoy your time down at Port Ferry and calm them seagulls.
Go the goals.
How good is the local footy? Just going down there, Joey.
Big chilly down there, I reckon, as well, though. Cheering Christian Welsh from the Melbourne Storm joining us this morning. Well, I don't know about you boys, but my running at the moment is fairly poor, but I reckon a lot of people in lockdown last year got their joggers on and did many a lap of the tan to get themselves fit. And as a result, next weekend, Saturday the 24th of April, is the inaugural Run the Tan, where you can try and get a really good lap time of the tan, try and win $20,000 in prizes, but also raise some money for some great charities as well. Darren Templeton is the man running this event and he joins us on the show this morning. Good morning, Darren. Can you explain kind of what time you'd have to be clocking up, getting around the tan to win some of this cash?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the top time by Craig Mottram's 10 minutes and 8 seconds. So if anyone's going after that, they've got to have to be going pretty well.
I would have thought so. 10 minutes and 8 seconds. Been a long time, Jay-Z, since I've run around the 10.
What was your best, Joe? Do you remember?
I was going to say about 14 minutes. Would that be about right? 13, 14 minutes?
That's
Darren,
excellent.
For the sort of an athlete, like a half-fit athlete that I used to be?
Look, absolutely, Joey. I think anything under 15 minutes is a pretty strong time around the 10. And I think most AFL footballers, if they go under 13 minutes, it's quite an amazing time. So I think if you go onto the runthetan.net website, you'll see some of the history around some of the AFL times that we've captured.
So you do keep the records, Darren, of the times around the tan. Who is the footballer that's currently got the record for the fastest time around the tan?
Phil Carman is on record to have the fastest time, 11 minutes and 17 seconds. But Mark McCabe's from Geelong, he's still a current player, obviously. He's not far behind. He's 11 minutes and 19 seconds.
Can you explain the event? What is Run the Tan, Darren?
Yeah, so the Run the Tan is an inaugural Run the Tan event. It's where we're going to officiate times around the tan so you can get an official time. It's pitched towards the top elite athletes through to just families, kids, and your average person in the public who wants to have a go around the tan and join the event.
Sounds terrific, Darren. You can get to the website, as you mentioned, Run the Tan, and get involved next weekend. Nominate a charity to run for as well. And tell you what, boys, I would not be clocking anywhere near, you know, 13, 14 minutes.
Well, at least there's a good gauge. About under 15 minutes is sort of a bit of a, you know, a benchmark in regards to what professional athletes would run. To be honest, Jay-Z, I made up that 13, 14 minutes. I have no idea what I ran about 15 years ago, but that sounds pretty good. It was about 13, 14 minutes.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Darren. We'll look forward to seeing everyone down at the Tan next weekend.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Joey, go first.
Yeah, give me a spell. This is really doing my head in. And your emails, you know, you get your spam and you get these like these scams, but it happens so often, I don't know if it's actually real or not. So I'm getting these Norton antivirus protection things that I need to renew, Rosie. And it's saying if I don't renew it and subscribe, that they're going to hack into my system. But I think it's a hacker who's sending it to me. And I don't know whether I should be subscribing because I'm getting them like every day. And it's like,
Have you ever subscribed?
Well, I don't think so. Well, there you go. It's tricking me, though. I don't know if
it's
I have.
It's like when you don't know if you've bought your Microsoft package for the 50 year. No, you know, same thing. If I can use Word.
I'm thinking, am I meant to buy this Norton antivirus protection or is it a scam? Or but they keep sending me emails every day to give me a spell. It's doing my head in.
Are you guys getting lots of calls as well at the moment?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't answer any call that doesn't name doesn't come up.
Right. Give me a spell. Hey, I tell you what, who needs one? I need to give myself a whack because last night I was at the pub at a mate's going away and just a few quiet ones, Emma, and sort of went a little bit later than I wanted to.
Love to know the actual number of beverages consumed.
14, 15.
Over under 10. I reckon over. Anyway, so the tip went around. Right, boys, get on the next at Ballarat such and such, yeah, race 7, number 3 or whatever it is. And I'm part of a dad's group, my son's primary school, Smobbers, St Monica's Old Boys Association. And we've got a great group, great dads. We've got a punters club.
Where's this going?
We believe that. All right, we believe it.
Got a timeout.
You don't have to sell it to us, mate.
I did say over, did not before. Anyway, so they've got a punters club, which is great. Anyway, so last night I whacked the tip on the punters club, except for the fact that I got the wrong number. Didn't know. So Cardinal Sin, instead of saying race 7, number 3, whatever it is, I said
three numbers.
Yeah, race 7, number 4. And I'm like, but I sent it. All the boys got on. A minute later, I realised, I'm like, oh, hang on, wrong number. And the first text message, there was some strong feedback.
Yep.
First message that come through, stick to footy, mate. I thought that's probably fair enough. Pretty good whack.
Especially after 15 beers. Yes. I reckon that's absolutely fair. Right. Hey, give me a spell. Yesterday was my son's second birthday. Happy birthday, Will. He turned 2. And one toy was opened last night and it had batteries in it, but the batteries had already faded away had to make a dash to Woolies at 5:30 to get the new AAs to put back in the toy. Yeah. Give me a spell.
You're under the pump, aren't you? Like,
mate, aren't you just already? Yeah. They want the cake for dinner and then they want the toys and the battery gone. Jesus. Let's do a bit of a Dead Set Legends.
It's Triple M's Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Just a quick one. We've only got a minute left because Jay-Z took up 2.5 minutes there telling you she's about his punters club. Quick, we like recognising our Australian stars overseas. Young Shyla Heal, the daughter of Shane Heal, went pick 8 in the WNBA draft. But her father is also a Dead Set Legend because if you remember those Olympics all the way years back in 2000, he took on Charles Barkley. Let's have a listen to Charles Barkley when he found out Shyla Heal got drafted.
Yeah. And Shane, number one, I want to congratulate you on your daughter. But then you are so lucky I didn't kill your ass over the Olympics.
Then you want to fight Shane
in the Olympics.
You want to fight Shane Hill.
He want to fight me.
Oh, Shane was beat.
You almost didn't have no daughter. If you had a Chuck out to grab you, it would have been hell to pay.
So it's a father-daughter combination, Dead Set Legend. Shane Heal when he took on Charles Barkley. Barkley's never forgotten about it. And Shyla Heal, pick 8 in the WNBA draft. Congratulations to her.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.